This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
This is a lot of talks for me to put out. I asked Nenzen if I could borrow some of hers. And she was going to be in Europe. Nobody here would know. Jeffrey gave me some advice that you can use the same talk, just change the ending. Sometimes I feel like all of this practice that we're enacting, they say when Shakyamuni Buddha spoke, this white hair unfurled, like glowed out of his third eye. And it's like, we're on that hair. Glowing white hair. Well, does anybody have any questions? About what? Vulnerability. Yeah. I thought we did talk about that. Well, to me, there's a lot going on in this whole bit, even though it's seemingly pared down to something fairly simple. It's actually very complex. All the, at least in this Ramanakaya realm. when we start into, I reflect that, particularly from being in this kind of seat at Hokoji, and people come in and new to it, and they want to know something about the practice, and then we basically offer that there's nothing to hold on to. So, there's like, we don't have foundational practices that you work your way into it. You just get tossed into the deep end of the pool, and I mean, for me to sit up here and talk, because I'm kind of a reluctant talker, takes some vulnerability on my part. And then, like at tea time, for everybody to offer up their sense of practice takes some vulnerability there as well. So it's really all a kind of tender feeling. You know, some people hold hard, but if they either don't last or it falls apart, and they have to open their heart at some point. Because we're practicing letting go, It's almost like headed towards our physical deaths and how to resolve everything before that time while we have the opportunity to be in good health, sound mind, the opportunity to practice. The other thing awakening mind, you discover that it's actually quite ordinary because everything's imbued with it, like we've been discussing. And with that realization, the compassion comes and everything is your relationship. Interrelated for all things. I guess the main sort of central part of it is the vulnerability is you really end up having to let go who you think you are. Just like I was saying in the beginning, the whole construct of suddenly you find yourself a grown up having to make your way in the world and haven't really had time to reflect on that and sit down on the cushion and, oh, what am I? It's a lot of times what brings people to the spiritual path. Who am I? What am I? What's going on here? And also, I think that it's like inner knowing, the original light shines through things so you see it or know it. Brings you to the seat. Less expansive.
Oh.
Being the student, good student. Yeah, I have written something down here about that one. Not quite finding it, but like Chikan Taza can be a really great opening, but it can also lead to great delusion. And how do you navigate that? Partly Sangha. I mean, either it's one-on-one or as a group. See what the path is, which isn't to say that it's linear or no, it's just like this, not like that. But whether you're creating more ego or delusion. Well, remember we were talking yesterday or the day before, but it's like there's, I think of that as cognition, and it's subsumed by awareness. And so this is still going on, what thing is the reflecting on the cushion. If you allow awareness to expand, there is no self in that awareness, and the awareness sees this going on, but it the recognition is that those things are just coming off the field. Oh yeah, Andy, I wish you were here. The BFL. Boundless field of light. It's his acronym. But, it's like watching the wind blow the trees and everything's flickering along, but you're not disturbed by it. It also goes to this idea of container where we've talked about that probably too much, but it's you could say the container is your mind, like the extent of your own awareness, not universal awareness necessarily, but and how much can you, how vast can that be and not have anything arising in it be disturbing? Like, some people sit in the cities and talk about the noises outside and sitting with that. Also, regardless of whether you're in the city or the country, it's how your whatever arises is not just not a problem. I think it's an important point. Because we have this sense of, I'm practicing, I'm sitting, and that's not so. I mean, it's happening that way, but it's not the big picture, so to speak. And it's sort of like if you become the sky, then all of this stuff is occurring, but it's not impacted. It's in some ways it's delusion, just, and in other ways it's just the flickering of original nature. You have. There's really good instruction. I'll bring it tomorrow, but I mean, it's up in my room, so I'll bring it down. But his answer is little more nuanced, but it's basically saying if you're meditating and thoughts arise, just rest in that. So whatever comes up, you just rest in that, because then you're not engaging in any way. You're not pushing it down or trying to develop it or make it go away. And there is this, there is being on the cushion and thoughts appear, and there's being on the cushion, and thoughts appear, and you start thinking about it, analyzing it, so to speak, in various ways. And then there's those things appearing, but not being labeled. And then there's those things appearing, and you're not there to witness it. Those are all ways of appearing on the cushion, I guess. And the not, well, okay, so Ajo, Dogen's disciple and Dharma heir, that he said, just throw you, I gotta find it. Want this quote in. Ajo said, cast off body and mind into the great treasury of light and don't look back. Beautiful. Okay, so you've what? Hard to explain. Okay.
Maybe. harmony.
Well, it's well, on the one hand, sort of a rote response to Roe would be, who is it that's thinking? But it doesn't matter so much. It's like you just have to stay steady and just lean into it, you know? And it's like the prow of a ship in the ocean, and it just keeps parting those things until they exhaust themselves. That's one way of looking at it. When you're in the midst of that, it's hard to see that it's this underlying piece. I mean, so there is a way of questioning it down using consciousness that I'm not familiar with. That's why I say it's like being thrown into the deep end of the pool. I mean, I started with being taught by somebody at the Zendo to count my breaths, and then for some man with COVID, he told me to stop doing that. So, fortunately, I hadn't done it very long.
Realize it is.
Oh, I was going to say it's, hey. I mean, that's the description of, but it's tricky because if you don't know the boundless field of light, then it, what are you resting in, you know? And people come back to their illusory sense of self and rest there. And really, we're trying to momentarily cut through that, don't you think? And yet it's everything as well. Is what? Let go and rest. Oh. Resting is better, so to speak, than letting go, because letting go is a little more active, where you're let, okay, I'm going to let that go. Then it becomes a kind of action that you take. Whereas resting, you just, and everything opens up, you know?
Also, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Oh my.
Almost allowed. Not me. I he's like he was. I don't know. I was car and wasn't car. It's like a here, whatever. I like.
Okay. Ha It is very difficult to articulate. And some of the reasons the ancient teachings are still around is because they were able to articulate it well. And this issue, Drew, of thinking is widespread. You're not alone in that. That's very common. I don't want to call it an issue, but it's something that people suffer with sometimes. And it, well, I don't have the answer of how to get around that, but there is a way. But it's not a technique particularly. And I want to say that I know there's Vipassana and Shamatha, and those are taught as separate things, and they're also taught as foundational and and then you move to this, but I'm serious, at least in my time with Koban, there were no stepping stones whatsoever. And sometimes I remember going to Dokusan and blah, 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 and he'd cut me off and say, I didn't ask about that, because it was just chatter, mind chatter. And so back to the cushion, facing the wall, watching the movie, seeing the wall go like this, whatever it is. But you just continue to be present and aware. That's really my advice. And it's hard to even articulate what that is. I've tried here to say it, but it's, I mean, it's, I can't really give it a phrase because it detracts from it. But I would just, in as much as there's observing, you can use that observing to, on the one hand, note that you're thinking, note that if I say something, you're going to take that to the cushion and think about it. But also you can use it the other way. It's like turning the eyes around and become, use consciousness initially, find the luminous mind. It doesn't have to be called luminous, but just the that which knows that isn't self. And then that becomes something you don't develop it, you just can find it. Like first you get a glimpse, and then, you know, pretty soon you can open up that world. Well, I don't know about pretty soon, but it, you know, the reason I love Ajo's statement about past body of mine completely off, whatever, however he says it, into the great treasury of light, is because that's body and mind drop off. And there's something about like staying with sitting, we call it, but staying with Shikantaza, themeless sitting is the definition. And you just continue to be present and aware. You just, pretty soon the things start falling off, you know, and the little more space between thoughts just, you just have to keep going. The whole, I've been saying this, the whole construct that we have, you know, it starts to wiggle a little bit. You just push into that, keep pushing past those things, and this other realm appears. And from that other realm, the thinking is doesn't bother. It's okay. This is just something appearing. I don't have this stuff with me, but there's some good descriptions of it. But it's like the just the play. Like ornaments of space is one, but that doesn't like one. But it's, you know, if you can, don't, there's no need to stop the thinking, really. It's just find the space between thoughts and enter that as well.
Over time.
The what?
Another a further description of looking into between the thoughts is being present and aware. To tie those together is that and that description in the Lankavatara Sutra of Buddha sitting down and becoming aware of what's in front of him. And with those elements, you are able to see the beginning of the thought, and you can watch yourself start to connect into it and develop it, and then you can back out of that because you're not supposed to, which creates another thought, and then you watch the dissipation of those things. They call it, what is it? Self-liberating. So it's the, if you stay with it without engaging, it feels like you're thinking, but it, you see it start to come up and then it goes off like a wisp if you're there to witness it. Typically, I think we miss the gaps in between, and we miss the, so it feels like continuous thought, but there's actually, it's not. And that's one way of dealing with thinking, is to look for this, the space where it starts and the space where it dissipates before the next one comes. And then it breaks the chain of ongoing thought. So I don't think anything usually when I'm. And then, in like daily life and stuff, I'm like, I've got this big job and how I'm going to get through this and do that. I mean, that is necessary strategy. But on the cushion, it is a chance to practice letting those things, observing them go and start.
Almost no. Oh, I do. Talk about kind of experience. So kind of. I felt just everything. One thing I guess I waited for this. Last thought broke. That thought. Presence and awareness. Thought arose because out of them.
I know. It just doesn't work very well for it. Well, I'm a little tired because I've talked to a lot of people in the past few days, as well as giving talks. Don't really want to talk about it necessarily. No, actually, I enjoy talking about it. My wife got tired of me talking about it, so I came here to. Go to Jacozi. Leave me alone. Sure. Well, and also I don't know where I got it, but there's like mind, and it shows up in Tibetan language more clearly. Zach could tell us, but there's mind and capital M mind, which is more of that maybe heart mind. Sometimes it's called, like, Sesshin Kolben translated as gathering of heart mind. Yeah.
Ha
That's good.
Let's pick it up tomorrow. No, really, it's good. Good to hear everybody.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.